I do want to say it's good to be with you. We've been looking forward to this for a while. We tried to work out arrangements to get down here just a little bit earlier in the fall, but they said you wanted to start on a Sunday morning definitely. And I already had scheduled. I try not to be out of my pulpit a lot on Sundays, and you well understand that. And I had already scheduled a couple homecoming services that was going to pull me away on a couple Sunday mornings. So I told David we'd have to wait till on up in November. And he said, that's fine. He said, we'll talk to the guys. And we were able to get this week set aside. And so we are glad to be able to be here with you. As you've already said, my name's Derek Cowan. I pastor Living by Faith Baptist Church over in Independence, which is over where Brother Wendell and him's got some farms there as well. And as David said, that's where I got to know the family back years ago. And then we live in Rural Retreat, or just the other side of Rural Retreat. And I'm a barber by trade. I'm a bivocational minister and a barber by trade, so I get to preach all the time. It'd have to be a pretty rough sermon for a feller to get up halfway through a haircut. So, and we're an old-fashioned barber shop where I work. We do still use straight razors, and I've had a lot of fun with that. Lay a man back to give him a shave, and you just grin and say, now, brother, if something were to go wrong, are you ready to meet the Lord? And so we're able to reach a lot of people in that capacity. And then God uses us very regularly in revival work. I stay busy as an evangelist as well, and generally end up preaching between 20 and 25 weeks of revival a year. We've been going for a couple months straight now, just ever not just about in revival meetings. So our voice is a little bit weak. We've got some kind of old drainage, and you'll just have to overlook that a little bit. If I cough a little, need to clear my throat, you'll just have to overlook that. I ask these fellas if they warned you all what was coming. Now, some of you is older and you've been up in the mountains and been around that a little bit. I am definitely what you call a mountain preacher. I'm not formal. I'm just an old-fashioned preacher, and I preach fast, so you'll have to listen fast, but I don't bite. I don't bite. In these first couple rows right here, I do spit a little, so I'm sorry. All right, I don't bite, but I do spit a little. But let's go ahead and get into the Word of God this morning. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua, please, chapter number 24. The book of Joshua, chapter number 24. And we'll begin our reading at verse number 13. But in context, the chapter opens up with the Lord speaking to the nation of Israel concerning all that he had done for them, the ways that he had blessed them, and the way he took care of them, and how he brought them up out of Egypt, and all the miracles that God had worked to take care of them. And we'll pick that up at verse number 13. Joshua 24, verse 13. And when you find your place, say amen. Amen. All right. It said, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Fathers, we bow in your presence here today. God, we thank you for this great opportunity that you've allowed us to come and be with the dear folk here at Barbie's Grove. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless the work of this church, and Father, that many souls had come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry here. And Father, as we're coming into revival meeting, Father, we ask you now to stir in the hearts of every believer in this place. God, I pray pray that you'll not let us leave as we came, but Father, that you might stir us, that we'd be drawn closer to you. And then Father, I pray that you'd search out hearts in this building. And if there should be one here today that's lost and doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, oh Lord, how I pray today would be the day that they'd come to a saving knowledge of Christ, get born again by the good grace of God before it's everlasting too late. And now, Father, as I stand this morning, I realize I stand in a place where human flesh will fail. And so, God, I do not stand today trusting in my own ability, but God, I lean upon you, and I pray, Father, that your will would be accomplished through me, and your word would be preached through me, and God, that all the honor, the glory, and the praise would go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we do humbly pray, and everybody said amen. Some years ago, and I don't know if it's even still on, I don't think it is, but some years ago there was a trivia show that they put on television the name of it was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Some of you remember that, and they'd ask you questions and you'd work your way up through levels, and they'd give you a couple lifelines, you know, if you wasn't sure about the answer to a question, they'd give you a couple helps, but when they came down to giving their answer, before they'd hit the buzzer, Regis Feldman there, he started out that thing old Regis had always asked him, is that your final answer? He would always ask him, is that your final answer? And with the help of God, that's what I will preach on this morning, is that your final answer? Now, if I were to present to you a series of questions and tell you you have to choose and make it as obvious as this question is, it'd be easy for you to get it. For example, if I were to ask you, do you want to live or do you want to die? Obviously, you're going to say, I want to live. And if I ask you, do you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? You'd say, well, I want to be blessed. And if I ask you, do you want to be happy or do you want to be sad? You'd say, well, I want to be happy. And so those are very obvious questions. And yet, dearly beloved, I see just as plain a question put before the nation of Israel and put before us here this morning. And yet people act like it's something hard to pick. Well, I just don't know. I'm just not certain where I stand. And see here, Joshua has challenged the people that they're going to have to make a choice because they were in Egypt so long. They had allowed themselves to get tangled up with the idolatry of Egypt, and some of that thought came up out of Egypt with them. And what he tells them is, you're going to have to leave that behind you. You're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve what your father served down there on the other side of the flood? What's it going to be for you? And you've got to make your mind up about it. And then he said, not only do you have to make your mind up about the gods back there, but what about society around you? We're down here in the land of the Amorites now. We're down here in the land where there's every kind of a pagan idol that you could possibly imagine. Sounds a lot like America to me, amen? Now, there's everything that you could imagine being thrown at us for us to bow our knee down to. And he said, you're going to have to make up your mind what you're going to serve. Now, I recognize that we live in what we consider to be a very intelligent, educated, sophisticated society. I know that we think a lot of ourselves. We have a very high opinion of ourselves. Yes, we do. But I want to tell you something, beloved. You say, well, we're intelligent and we're sophisticated, and we would never go worship idols. I want to tell you something, beloved. The religion that we're bowing to in 2018 more than ever before is the religion of humanism. We want to worship ourselves. We want to be our own God. We want to be our own boss. You're not going to tell me what to do. That old outdated Bible's not going to tell me how to live. That preacher's not going to stand up there and tell me I'm wrong. And I'm going to live my life as I please. It's my life. I'll do what I want to you. But quite the contrary, beloved, the Bible said, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Did you realize, had God not give you the grace to do it, you'd have never got out of your bed this morning? Do you realize you'll not breathe another breath and your heart will not beat another beat if God doesn't give that to you? So let's be real careful about standing up boasting and bragging about how it's our life and we'll live it as we please. No, my friend, God could end your days right now if in his sovereign will he chose to do that. And yet he's given us this day, and it is his day, and it needs to be lived for his glory. I've never in all my life seen such a time of compromise as what we have in our church today. We have this go along to get along mentality. We don't see revival like we once saw it. We don't see people get saved like we once saw it. And we have this kind of come as you are, leave as you were mentality about church. And I'm afraid today that for some of you, church has simply become a religious formality. It's a motion that you go through. Well, I've always been a member down there at Barber's Grove, and I just feel like that's where I need to be. And you go through the motion of the Sunday morning service, but how is your life lived for God on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? How about Saturday? Are you letting your light shine? Are you being an example for the Lord? And so I say today in your face, up close and personal question is presented to you there. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. You're going to have to make a choice about every day of your life who it is you're going to serve. And may I say, I pray to God you'll make the right decision in that. I want us to look at a couple thoughts about this. I want you to notice in the first verse I read to you that he talks to them about living in a place of abundance, a place of great blessing. Now, you and I today, as we look around, we'd have to say praise God for being able to live where we live. We live in a land of great abundance. We live in a land of great blessing. God has been good to us. And as they read through the roster today of many that served out of this very church, and some of you that are here even now that has served our country, for us to enjoy the liberties and the freedoms that we have. Let's not take that for granted, beloved. You and I so often will have to admit that we reap from the benefits of another's labor. Is that not a fact? And so God has blessed us as people here in America. He's given us a good land of freedom. But may I say to you, to whom much is given, much is required. And may I say that I believe that there will be a harsher judgment for American Christians than perhaps for a Christian in a third world country. Look at the freedoms we have. Look at the financial capability that we have. Look at the printing presses that are available to us. Look at all the resources that God has put in our fingertips to be able to use for His glory. And to whom much is given, much is required. Beloved, what an awesome responsibility God has given us. And so with that very thought in mind, Joshua stands there and looks at that crowd of people, and without wavering, without a quivering lip, without compromise, he points his finger out and says, you're going to have to make a choice. One thing that this sermon will do for you, you might like me when I'm done preaching and you might despise me. It's okay either way. I won't take it personally, but I'll tell you this right now. One thing that this sermon does for you, it knocks you off the fence. You don't get to ride the fence. You're either in or you're out. It's one way or the other. And so I want you to see, first of all, this morning, that your decision, when we think about a final decision, your decision is personal. It's personal. Notice what he said. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. He said, as for me. Do you see that? It's a very personal thing. Joshua is saying, I can't choose for you, and you're sure not going to choose for me. You're going to have to choose for yourself. And may I go ahead and tell you this morning that you're not going to get to heaven based on your mom and dad's salvation. You're not going to get to heaven based on somebody in your family's good name. You're not going to get to heaven because somebody else in your family loved God with all their heart. You're going to have to get saved for yourself. It is a very personal thing, and it's something that you must do. Nicodemus came to Jesus, but not privately, in the Gospel of John chapter 3. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, ye must be born again. And my friend, that's a very personal thing. You've got to make that choice. You've got to accept the Lord. And you say, well, now, preacher, I'm in church. Let me go ahead and tell you something this morning. You being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than me standing in a garage makes me a car. And I'll go ahead and tell you something else too. The devil just as soon take you to hell off that church pew you're sitting on as he had to take you to hell off a bar stool.
Just because you go to church does not mean you're a Christian. Just because you know how to sing Amazing Grace does not mean you're saved. Just because you give out of your finances to support the work of the church, may I say salvation is not for sale. It is a free gift, and you've got to be born again. And it's a very personal thing in your life, but you never will get saved. And all you saved people can say amen to this. You never will get saved till you realize you're lost. And as long as you're running around telling me how good you are and how wonderful you are and how blessed, after all, that Barbie's Grove is to have you and all such like as that, may I say to you, beloved, as long as that's your opinion of yourself, you've never really got good and convicted over your sins. But let me tell you what the Bible says about us all. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is you and that is me. You might think that you've got some perfect blemish-free record where you would chuckle and laugh and say, no, my life is very good, not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, you're a sinner. Do you know what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6? It said, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. But God hath laid on him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's every person in this building. We've all sinned. Isaiah chapter number 62 said, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You need to understand today, God's not looking down at you and going to let you take all your good works and put them on one side of a balance and then take all your bad works and put them on the other side of a balance. And just so long as your good outweighs your bad, you get to go to heaven. That's not Bible doctrine. That's not how you get there. But my friend, all of us are guilty of sin. And Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I say you've got a wage due for the work of sin. You've got a payment coming your way, beloved. You say, what is that? You're going to die and go to hell. You say, I don't want to die and go to hell. Good, then I've got your attention. I'm glad you've got a choice you can make. You say, well, preacher, what would I have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just keep on like you are. You'll get there quick enough. But if you don't want to go to hell, you have got to do something. You have to make a definite choice. You have to make a distinct decision in your life. You have to recognize that you are a sinner, that you do deserve hell. And you have to come to that place that you could realize God would be righteous, God would be holy, and God would be just if He picked us all up this morning and cast us right into the fire. He'd be right in doing that. And the only way that we can avoid that awful place called hell is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's the personal part, are you a whosoever? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, beloved, that's a personal choice you're going to have to make. You say, well, preacher, I know I'm guilty of sin. And preacher, I know I need to get saved. Then, my friend, I don't know what's holding you back. I won't wait till invitation time. Just jump on out of your seat. Come on down to an old-fashioned altar. Brother Ed, get down and pray with you. I know he'd be glad to. My friend, don't put that off. You come on. Get down there and say, oh, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. And I'm glad He will. You just supply the sinner. God will supply the rest, okay? But it's a personal thing. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Over in the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, a very similar question is put out there to the children of Israel once again. He said, He sat there before them, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. God is is set before you, life and death. You can choose to reject Jesus Christ and go on in your sins and die lost and go to hell. You can choose to do that, or he's set before you life that you can come to the Lord as a humble, contrite, broken sinner and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling, and come to the Lord and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me, and I'm glad he'll do it. Amen. He'll do it. He said, as many as will come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. But see, it's a very personal thing. I can't get saved for you. If I could, all of you go to heaven whether you liked it or not. I don't even know a lot of you. I don't even know a lot of you. I know y'all got some wild four-wheeler riders in a bunch. I do know that about a few of you. Living dangerously, living on the edge, you know. But there's a lot of you I've just met for the first time today. And even at that, we're almost strangers to each other. And even at that, if I had my way about it, every last one of you'd go to heaven. I wouldn't let one. If I could get saved for all of you, I'd just get a list of your names and I'd just keep getting down on this altar one by one for every one of you till the last one of you is saved and on your way to heaven. It's exactly what I'd do. But the sad part about it is it breaks my heart that so often the preacher doing the preaching cares more about your soul than you do. And it's your eternity. It's your eternity. We worry about a little, well, what time's this service going to be over? We get stuck on that kind of stuff, you know. Eternity's a whole lot longer than a little preaching service. You better make sure you got things right with God. It is personal. Are you saved or aren't you? Can you go back to a definite time and place that you can say right there is where the Lord saved me? Can you do it? Can you do it? If you can't, you better get you a spot and a good old-fashioned altar on a Sunday morning in November would be a good place. Be awful good if 20 years from now you bring somebody right back to this altar and say, right there at Barbie's Grove is where I got born again. Are you going to get saved? Or are you going to reject the Lord? You've got a personal choice to make. Joshua said, I can't make your decision for you, and you're sure not going to make mine for me. It's personal. Now, what are you going to do with it? What about Jesus? He bled, he suffered, and died so you could be saved. And he rose again the third day for your justification, according to Romans 4:24. Now, what are you going to do with it? The most important question you'll ever answer is, what did you do with that one named Jesus? Oh, well, I was a good church member. You think that's going to hold any weight for you in heaven? Well, my name was on the roll. I just want to go ahead and break your heart and tell you God keeps his own records. God won't be calling for the clerk of Barbie's Grove to look at the membership roll. He's got his own roll book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in it? The only way you can get it there is to get saved, and that's a personal thing. Only you can do it. May I say number two, look at this. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But I want you to get a hold of this. It said this day. Get a hold of that this day. That is a pressing choice. It's not only a personal choice, it is a pressing choice. This day. Joshua said, you don't have tomorrow. Back there in Deuteronomy, the same thing I said before Eli and dead, this day. It's a pressing matter. May I say to you, far more important than what you chose to wear to church, far more important than where you choose to eat lunch when I'm done preaching, far more important to you than what vehicle you chose to purchase last, the greatest decision that you're ever going to make, the most pressing matter at hand right now, is what will you do with that one called Jesus? Will you get saved? Will you live your life for God? Will you let him wash your sins away, or are you going to go through this life and say no, 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 no? Maybe some other time. Maybe some better day. Maybe when I feel like it. Well, certainly not on that preacher's terms. Don't you ever come on the preacher's terms, but you will have to come on God's terms. So I ask you, it's a pressing decision. It's a pressing choice. What are you going to do? What do you choose? You sit here and say, well, I ain't going to make my decision today. Well, that is a decision. May I say this is the one time that indecision is a decision. For to choose not to accept Christ by default is to choose to reject Him. It's to tell Him no one more service. To tell Him no one more Lord's Day. To tell Him no one more time. And may I say, how many of you can boast of tomorrow? Who can be 100% positive that they're going to be alive tomorrow? That's why it's so pressing. You say, oh, I've got all the time in the world. Let me tell you something. You might fall over dead before I get done preaching. So you say, Lord, it depends on how long He's going to preach. You might fall over dead before I get done preaching. There was a couple that in the church that I was raised up in over there. We called them Mousy, or rather Mousy and Trudy Hale. And Garland and Gertrude was their name. Garland and Gertrude. You can understand why they went with nicknames. Garland and Gertrude. You know, Garland's fine, Gertrude's fine. You get Garland and Gertrude together, you really got something there. But they went by Mossy and Trudy. And they was good Christian folk, loved the Lord. Both of them had been saved for years and years. Mossy was a drunk when he got saved. God saved him out of that. They got up one day, went to the funeral home over in the town of Whiffle, Grub Funeral Home. A friend of theirs had died. They went there, sat through the funeral service. Now listen to me carefully. Sat through the funeral service right there. At the end of the funeral service, the minister called for the congregation to stand as the family would be escorted out. Mossy stood up. And when he did, he noticed that Trudy didn't stand up. He thought she had dozed off and went to nudge her. And she just slumped right on over in the seat. She had sat right there in that funeral home and died. Now that's a fact. That's why it's so pressing. How many more days do you have? You say, well, I'm young. I've got all the time in the world. You don't have to be old to die. Back, I work out in Bluefield. One of the local athletes there, a buddy in the high school. He had graduated from high school. He was in college. 20-some year old died of a massive heart attack the other day in his 20s. I mean, he was in his prime, boy. Dead. He's gone. You don't have to be old to die. I had a customer there at the barbershop, a fellow by the name of Mike Hubbard. Good Christian boy, I loved him. And he had a sweet little wife, two little old blonde-headed boys. I mean plum toe-headed boy. Just white-headed little boys, cute as a button. Sweet family, all of them went to church, faithful. But old Mike one day was doing work. He worked for a telephone company. It was icy conditions. Somehow or another, the ladder slipped with him on it, and he fell. And when he fell, he broke his back. They rushed him to Roanoke Memorial Hospital, did emergency back surgery. They came in the room later, said he'd came through the surgery well, that with therapy they thought he'd make a full recovery, that he wouldn't lose any mobility. And his wife was sitting there talking with him. He was awake, he was alert, he was fine. He was 37 years old. The nurse came in there to turn him on his side to check the incision. And when she did, apparently a blood clot broke loose and he died instantly. 37. Now, are you sure you've got tomorrow to make your choice? He said, choose you. It's personal. This day it's pressing. Are you going to get saved or not? Some of you have put it off your whole life and you've hid behind the curtains of religion, but God sees you right where you sit today. Now what will you do with that one called Jesus? What will you do? And then we see this. He said, choose ye this day whom ye'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. I want to say to you, beloved, that it is a choice with much pressure. He said, you have had the influence of the past that's going to work against you. And you have what you're surrounded by today that's going to work against you. And we are under a time of great pressure as Christians. Like never before in this country are you being called on as a Christian to compromise what the Bible teaches. Oh, pick any hot subject. Pick any one of them. The world does not like what the Bible teaches. What about life? What about the life of the unborn child? The world says it's the woman's choice. God says it's a child. What about marriage? What about everything else in this land? Right on down the line, we are being pressured and pressured and pressured and pressured to give in and cave in. And I say to you today, beloved, it is a decision that you'll make under much pressure. What are you going to do with it? But I want you to see what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Boy, I want you to see his persistence. And I want to tell you something right now. That's not just a decision that Joshua made that day. But he had to make it tomorrow. And he had to make it the next day. Now, you'll only come to Jesus Christ to get saved once. Just once. I preach in a lot of different churches, brother, and sometimes you run across a little bit of everything. And I've had people saying, oh, did you get born again? Yes, sir, I used to be saved, and then I wasn't, and now I am, and then I wasn't, and now I am. You know that kind of business. We've dealt with that quite a bit. You only come to Jesus once. You only get saved once. Get that marked down just once. You say, how you know that? Over in Hebrews chapter 6, it says it's impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. It's impossible. The only way you could ever get saved, lose, and get saved second time, you'd have to crucify Christ all over again. He ain't gonna do it. Just to use good proper grammar. But I want you to see what you do choose every day as a Christian. You don't choose to get saved every day. But every day of your life, you're going to choose whether or not you're going to live it for God. Right. Joshua, dear friend, he was persistent. Can't you hear the determination in his voice as he says, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what you do. I don't care what everybody else around me does. I'm going to serve God. Do you hear Joshua's persistence? And I will ask you a question today. Where do you stand on that subject? I wonder if I were to put you on trial for being a Christian, if there'd even be enough evidence to convict you. What if we were to go to your place of employment and talk to your coworkers? Could they tell me where you go to church? Could they tell me if you go to church? What if I were to survey your children or grandchildren, and you could do the same to me. I've got kids with me this morning. Got my two youngest ones. They're God's little spies. They'll tell everything on Daddy. They really are. They're God's little spies. They'll tell everything on Daddy. What if I were to survey your children or your grandchildren and ask them, does Mom and Dad read the Bible in the home? Does Mom and Dad pray at mealtime? Does Mom and Dad teach you about the ways of the Lord? What if I was to ask them? What would they say? Well, we read the Bible at church. I'm telling you, beloved Joshua, can you hear his persistence? He says, we will serve the Lord. You got to make up your mind. I want to tell you what you all have done, Barber's Grove. Y'all painted a big target on you this week because you scheduled a revival meeting. And what the devil's going to do is fight you as hard as he's ever fought you. You may be sitting there, it's one thing, I'm going to try to make it every night this week. And boy, if there'll ever be a week that your life will fall apart, it'll be this one. If there'll ever be a week that everything goes wrong, it'll be this one. Because the devil's going to fight you, and what you're going to have to do is be persistent and determined in your heart. Now, as we stand to our feet all across the building, and they come and get us a song of invitation. And we give invitations every service. I think for me to stand and preach and tell folk everything that's wrong and then not give them an opportunity to do something about it, be like going to the doctor and him and telling you that you're bad sick, you got something's going to kill you, there's a medicine that can cure you, and then him not ever give you the prescription to get it. For me to preach and not give you an opportunity to respond, I think is about the same principle as that. Now, what do we need in this country? We need lost people to get saved. And right now, in this moment, you're making a decision. You're choosing right now. You are. Quit looking around. It ain't the one in front of you, behind you. You can blame it on me. Well, he's loud. Well, I'm just getting to know you. You wait till we loosen up. I'm always more wound up in the evening services. Don't blame it on me. Don't blame it on Brother Ed. Don't blame it on this church. You're choosing right now. You are. Whether or not you're accepting Jesus Christ or rejecting him, you're choosing. It's personal. But it's pressing. You're choosing right now. And I started out with the title, Is That Your Final Decision? Because for some of you, it may well be. You may think you're going to get back to this service tonight and not make it. And it very well could happen. And you know I'm telling you the truth. So is it your final decision? Can you live eternally or die eternally with the decision that you're making right now? What will you do? You say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Well, come to Jesus. You say, what do I do? Just come on up here and kneel down, Lord. I'm a sinner. Right now I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me and save me. If you believe that, if you're not just going through the motions, if you believe that, he will save you. So why don't you come? Why don't you respond? Now, many of you are here today, say, preacher, I got saved a long time ago. In a world that's got so much pressure pushing in on you, pushing. In what areas have you give? Who are you serving? You might be saved, but who are you serving? Huh? Who are you serving? Who gets the first out of your life? Who do you put the priority on? So you're making the decision right now as well about, in a time of great pressure, how are you going to serve? And then Joshua, he was persistent about it. He said, we're going to serve God. I wonder how many Christians get down around an old-fashioned. Oh, you say, well, that's for lost people. No, no, this is just as much for a saved person. If you think you only need to pray to get saved, brother, you ain't had much of a Christian life. This is a good place for Christian people to come kneel down. Get down on an altar. Say, Lord, right here I am. Help me to be a Joshua in my day and to serve God no matter what. To be faithful, to be true. You mind the Lord.
Yes, sir. Page 485. Stand up. Page 485.
Stand up. This is the president's year. There in that passage in Deuteronomy 30, he said he called heaven and witnessed to it there in record. That's to witness it, to record it. This moment's been recorded eternally. Have you made your final decision? Do you stand where you need to stand with God? Is your heart right? Nothing between your soul and your Savior. Are you persistent in your walk and persistent in your choice to follow God? Are you? I pray so. I pray so.
Sunday morning and Sunday night at midnight, they call and say he had a heart attack and didn't make it. You know how quickly we can leave this place and we need to be always right with the Lord. Jay and Linda Dewey has come and they'd like to join our church. The church they're a part of now is not a Baptist church. They were a part of a Baptist church earlier. So we would take them, I assume, under a statement of previous profession of faith and baptism. Is this a real board of the church?
That's true. Make a motion to receive.
All right.
Thank you,
sir. All in favor of an uplifted hand? And this is Laura's sister, so we're so glad. If you'll just stand here after the service and folks can come by and greet you and tell you how glad we are that you become a part of our fellowship. Thank you so much. Remember to be here tonight, 6 o'clock. Brother Hopkins, would you have our benediction?
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we humbly come before you, we thank you for the message that we have heard. Our Lord, the challenge that we have before us, that is this our final decision? Father, we pray that it will not be, but the decision we make will be the one that will be following you, serving you. Father, we ask you to guide and direct these revival meetings this week, and Father, we pray that it will not be just meetings, but it will be true revival. For Lord, we know that revival comes when your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Then will you hear from heaven and will forgive our sins and heal our land. And we call upon you and ask that today. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. I pray that you will fill this house this week, Lord, in body and in spirit, and that, Lord, decisions will be made that will bring honor and glory to you. People will be saved, and that true revival will